9, and I left my piece of paper that had the verse written out. So I will read it from the Bible. It can be found on page 44. Friends, hear this word of the Lord for you today. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us make 3 dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud there came a voice saying, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for these stories of faith that enrich our hearts and lives. Be with us, Lord, in this time and place, we pray. Amen. So as I was asking the kids, when have you had one of those wow God mountaintop experiences when you were just overwhelmed by the glory of God and words could hardly describe it? Maybe you were on a mountain or beside the ocean or a lake. Maybe you were looking at an amazing piece of art or listening to beautiful music or witnessing the first moments of a baby after birth. These experiences can happen anywhere, at any time. So when have you had one that made God feel so close, so real, so big? As I was telling the kids, one of those incredible moments for me was in the Rocky Mountain National Park, just sitting up there on a mountain, looking out over the glory of God's creation and thinking how small we are and how amazing this world really is. I had another mountaintop experience in front of a piece of art at the Philbrook. If you go in the Philbrook and you turn right and you go all the way through the religious art, back to the back, there is this incredible painting from 1635 by Luca Giordano called The Deposition of Christ. And it portrays the body of Christ being laid in a tomb, but the way that it's painted, it feels like as you're standing there, the body of Christ is being given to you. It's life size. To me, it's beyond words. When I walked into Westminster Abbey in London, I had that moment just looking up at all the intricate woodwork and stained glass, and I was just overwhelmed. What about you? When have you had experiences that provided you such inspiration and strength? Think about the moments of wonder and awe in your life when you knew that God is just so amazing. When has this happened for you? Where were you? What were you doing? What did you see and feel? I think we've all had these experiences when God feels very real. So I literally want you to right now turn to someone close to you and just in a word or two, tell them where you were or what you felt. Maybe you can say a mountain, the ocean, a lake, but just take a moment, turn to someone near you and tell them where you were when you knew God was huge, awesome, wow, real. Go ahead.
That's miraculous.
All right. Does anyone want to share one that was really good? Anyone want to share their wow God experience? Okay, well, let's just assume they were all good. And I'll say, God is good, and you say,
all the time.
Now we have a frame of reference for what Peter, James, and John experienced with Jesus. It was their mountaintop experience. They literally saw the glory of God in his appearance and transfiguration. When they were looking at Jesus, they were looking right at God. And there are no words to describe that. But Peter tries. He's always the one. Speaking up, trying to say something, sticking his foot in his mouth. He's the one that says, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Little understatement there. And then he talks about wanting it to last. Don't we all want it to last? He wants to build 3 dwellings for each of them up on that mountain to make it last. And that's when God comes from the cloud and said, this is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. And suddenly, it's over. Jesus takes them back down the mountain into the valley of everyday life. And he tells them to keep it all a secret until the resurrection. It's probably a good thing that there were 3 of them at this transfiguration, because I don't think they fully understood what was going on or what Jesus meant when he told them before they went up that he was going to die, and as they were coming down that he was going to be raised from death. We may not be sworn to secrecy after any of our experiences, but often there are simply no words, right? Think about the context of this story. He's talking to them about his death, about walking through the valleys of life, and then they go up on the mountain. It's amazing, it's brilliant, it's beautiful, and then they go back down to minister and serve in the valleys of life. When you think about your mountaintop experiences, I wonder if any of you think of it that way. That before the mountaintop experience, maybe you were going through a valley. And maybe after the mountaintop experience, you also were going through a valley. But just like these disciples, there's this inspiration that comes. And how often do we ever hear a voice saying to us, listen, listen to God, listen to Jesus? This story happens right in the middle of the Gospel of Mark, in the middle of Jesus' ministry. It's like a touchstone for them to come back to. How many of us have a touchstone to come back to? A place to go in your heart and mind when life is really, really tough. I believe that's what those mountaintop experiences can do for us. They can be that place that you can go back to in your heart and mind that inspires you, reminds you, wow, God, you are amazing. We can't ever stay up on the mountain. We always have to come back down to real life. And these disciples came back down to serve. So I wonder if the same thing is true of us. Do we get filled up in these experiences, God pouring life into us so that we can serve in the everyday valleys of life? I know a lot of you have heard of the analogy of an emotional love tank. Gary Chapman, who wrote The 5 Love Languages, he uses those words. But Amy also gave me a book about a year ago called How Full Is Your Bucket? It was a bestseller in the country, and it's based on a simple analogy. Our hearts are like buckets, and each interaction we have in the world with people either fills it up because it's positive or takes some out because it's negative. Every time we interact with one another, we're either being filled up or someone's dipping out of our bucket. If our bucket is full, we feel that we can love and serve one another in ways that we can't if our bucket is empty. I think these incredible experiences with God, they like fill our bucket, our hearts. And while I don't believe that we can manufacture these experiences, I do think we can make space for them in our lives, space for them to happen. We can slow down. We can schedule time away off that treadmill of life to just get away and be with God. We saw Jesus doing this again and again himself, going away by himself to pray. Last week we talked about how important it is to take that time to be alone with God, to just wait on God, because that's when we find ourselves strengthened and renewed, just like Isaiah 40 tells us. So what about you? Are you making space for God? Are you making time to get away and pray, to be alone with God, to see the beauty of creation? I know firsthand how hard it is to do that sometimes, because we find ourselves just constantly working and serving and working and serving, and it seems really good, all that we're doing. But how can our hearts be filled if we are only pouring out to others? We need that time with God to be filled up, inspired, strengthened. How can you draw close to God for that? We all have to make time. I was working and thinking of some good ideas, and you probably have many more, but what about getting up a little bit earlier to pray and see the sun come up? What about staying up a little bit later and looking at a starry night? What about just taking an hour to walk outside? What about curling up with your Bible and some wonderful music, or visiting a museum and prayerfully seeing that art? Whatever it is, I believe we can ask God to be there, and God will meet us there. God will fill us up. And when we're there, we'll be reminded of that message that they heard, those three words that were so important that kind of sum up this whole experience, which was, listen to him. Listen to Jesus. How do we obey that today? How do we listen to Jesus? We may not even have these big transforming moments. We may have more subtle experiences, like seeing the smile of a child, the success of a student, hearing just an encouraging word of praise or thanks. We can make ourselves available and our lives available to God. God will meet us wherever we are. Every time we come to this place of worship, God meets us. Every time we make space and time for God, God is there. And we can find ourselves changed, transfigured by the voice and presence of God, guiding, directing, forgiving us. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, the first of the 40 days of Lent, and it's our preparation time for Easter. It's also the perfect time to obey those three important words that they heard up on the mountain. Listen to him. Lent is a season to listen to Jesus. It's the perfect time to stop and listen, because we are literally preparing our hearts and lives for Easter. On Ash Wednesday, we kind of enter a valley, so to speak, because Ash Wednesday is a day where we face our own sin, our failures, and our mortality. On Ash Wednesday in this church, we come before God to confess our sins. And here we actually take a piece of paper and a pencil, and we write some of those failures down, and we nail them to a big wooden cross. Here we come forward for communion, that spiritual food and drink we need for our Lenten journey. But we also receive the sign of the cross in ashes on our forehead. And we hear these words: remember, you are dust, and to dust you will return. Why? Why? Because when we acknowledge who we really are, I believe that's when we understand who Jesus really is and how much we need him. That amazing grace of Jesus is all the more amazing when we know how much and why we need it. I think we all know that we need God's grace. I think the question is, do we believe that God gives it to us freely as a gift? Do we believe that nothing we have done or left undone can separate us from that love and grace of God? Do we believe that we are simply forgiven because we are children of God in need of a Savior? This year, during the Lenten season, we're going to focus on people that Jesus met and what he gave them. New life, living water, healing, salvation. Each week, we'll hear another story about a life that was transformed by an encounter with Jesus. And each week, we'll also have a station in our cafe where you can do something with your hands. We can make prayer beads, kind of like a Presbyterian rosary. Just a simple thing to make and carry with you throughout Lent to remind you as you touch those beads to pray for different people and situations and for yourself. I think these stories throughout Lent and the opportunity we have to make something with our hands, I think these things will enrich our journey as we go through Lent and into Easter. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel today. Those times on the mountain with God, they give us inspiration and strength for the valleys of life. May we make time to be with God, and may we obey those three words: listen to him. Amen.